This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, nesting birds are something that we all associate with Easter and with spring. And with so much bad news about declining bird species, it is great to hear that two species, with a little help, are edging their way back from the brink of extinction. The Hertfordshire and Middlesex Wildlife Trust are delighted that the help that they've provided for two struggling local species, the peregrine falcon and the bittern, is paying off. Now, both birds are remarkable. The bittern for its booming call that can be heard 5 miles away, and the peregrine falcon for its eye-popping speed that can top 200 miles per hour in plummeting flight. Now, the St. Albans Cathedral peregrine falcons made national news last week as they showed up for a third year, circling the cathedral, showing interest in nesting up high on the roof, as they have done in previous years. And if you've not yet seen, the nest webcam has been switched back on so that we can all watch the airy nest as the drama of nesting and new life unfolds. I wanted to find out more about both of these truly amazing birds, so I spoke to Tim Hill, Conservation Manager at the Hertfordshire and Middlesex Wildlife Trust, and I started by asking him why the St. Albans Cathedral peregrines are so important.
Peregrine falcons remain, you know, one of those iconic species that I think we're all delighted to see. They're an apex predator, so clearly if they're doing well, we have to think that the general ecosystem is doing pretty well as well. Unfortunately, peregrine falcons got to a real low ebb back in the 1960s as a result of pesticides getting into the food chain, which meant that the shell of the eggs that peregrines were laying back in the 1960s got very thin, and they weren't able to fledge sufficient young. Most of the eggs failed. And so they went down to a really few numbers. And since those pesticides were taken out of the food chain, numbers have slowly risen. And obviously, we're delighted here in Hertfordshire that a pair decided to take home on St. Albans Cathedral. And for the third time in succession, now they're breeding. Nationally, there are something like 1,700 pairs in the country breeding. In Hertfordshire, we have 5 pairs breeding, including the pair at St. Albans Cathedral.
And apart from the St. Albans Cathedral peregrines, what are the other places around Hertfordshire where peregrine falcons are breeding?
They're breeding in Watford, Hemel Hempstead, Wymondley up near Hitchin, and in Welwyn Garden City.
All right, OK. And tell us a little bit about Watford and how you're helping the birds there.
Well, there's been a pair hanging around in Watford for a few years now, and they have bred successfully. But the work that Hertfordshire and Middlesex Wildlife Trust is currently doing with Watford Football Club has provided us an opportunity to put a new nesting tray up on Vicarage Road Stadium, where Watford Football Club play. This is part of a conservation plan that Watford have commissioned the trust to produce. And one of our suggestions was, given the fact that peregrines are hanging around in Watford at the moment, they have a location high up on the stadium roof, which potentially is perfect for a pair of peregrines. So working with Barry Trevis, we put a new tray up on the stadium roof just 2 weeks ago. And so we're waiting now with bated breath to see whether a pair use it this year or whether we might have to wait for next year to see if that's a success or not.
Well, we can keep our fingers crossed there. And just to clarify, Barry Trevis is your fantastic volunteer who designed and put in place the nesting tray that is now on St. Albans Cathedral, where the peregrine falcons have nested for the past couple of years.
Yes, well, Barry is Mr. Peregrine, really, because he has the special license from Natural England, which allows him to ring the chicks of the birds. But yeah, Barry has been involved right from the start, and he designs and fabricates these nesting trays for the falcons. And then we take them up in kit form onto the suitable buildings and install them, secure them to the fabric of the building, fill the tray up with pea shingle, because that provides the peregrines with the perfect nesting medium to make their little scrape. They don't make a nest as such, they just make this scrape. The female sort of burrows down into the shingle, makes a little hollow, and then that's where the eggs are laid.
Wow. Well, that's amazing the impact that one dedicated individual can have on a local species. Brilliant. Well done to Barry. So, do we know where the peregrine falcons go over winter? Because they've appeared again, looking like they might be interested in coming back to the cathedral. Do we know where they go in the meantime?
Yeah, well, peregrines are believed to pair for life, but pairing for life in peregrine falcon terms means that they obviously mate, hopefully raise some chicks, and then in the wintertime they do disperse, but they seem to come back. So the pair that are breeding this year are the same that were there last year. The young birds, they are eventually pushed off by the parents and they have to go and fend for themselves in the wider world. But yes, birds will keep on coming back. But sadly, of every peregrine fledgling, 0.6 of all individuals make it through to the following summer. So there's quite a lot of losses from fledglings in that first winter. Like any young animals, you know, they're learning how to live, and there's lots of things out there that they can fly into or starve indeed during that wintertime.
Well, frankly,
So,
I was going to say, Tim, for anybody who's watched the webcam in previous years, the way that they just hurl themselves off that roof of that precipitous drop, it's amazing that they make it through that, isn't it? Given they've never flown before. So yeah, it's not a surprise. And do we know how many of the St. Albans chicks, how many of the fledglings, do we know how many of those have survived, or do we just have to wait and see and hope they pop up somewhere?
Well, that's right. Barry did ring all the young birds at the nest last year, and we haven't heard of any recoveries of any of those birds. I don't think anybody's managed to spot a bird with that particular ring, but of course, the numbers on these rings are tiny, so you would have to see them with binoculars or a telescope, ideally, to know where they are. So hopefully they did very well and they found a location elsewhere. You never know. One of the birds from St. Albans may have taken a liking to Watford, and we might see it hanging around the new tray down at Watford Football Club Stadium.
Well, if you're down there watching the football, better keep a lookout there then. So the peregrine falcon pair, they're circling around. They look like they will nest in the same spot in that gravel tray that you've described up on the cathedral roof. And the webcam, it's already active. I've taken a look. But also, you've got together with St. Albans RSPB. So you're going to have volunteers actually down below the abbey with binoculars, telling us a bit about the birds and giving us the opportunity to actually see them there. We won't get a view of the nest from there. So why is it a good idea to go along and take a look?
Well, the great thing about the peregrine watches, which are on the green adjacent to the cathedral, we have some very knowledgeable people who are part of that, and they can tell you all about the peregrines, their activity, what they're up to, what type of prey they're bringing back to the nest. And it's just a great place that you can not only see peregrines, but you can also learn a lot about them and share your experiences with other like-minded souls.
And can you just tell us, there's one fabulous thing about peregrine falcons that some listeners might not know about their flying speed. Can you just tell us about that?
Yes, they are indeed not only the fastest bird on earth, but the fastest animal. And this is because when they're in hunting mode, the peregrine falcons fly up to a great height. And from that height, they're looking down for prey, such as feral pigeons. And when they see potential prey, they lock onto it. They've got incredible eyesight. And from that great height, they go into what's called the stoop. They tuck their wings adjacent to their body, become a sort of bullet shape falling from the sky. And of course, gravity is pulling them down all the time. And they're known to have reached speeds of 200 miles per hour. And something that has been worked out by people watching them closely is that when they come down through that stoop, they actually put their claws into a clenched shape and punch their prey. And it's that punch that actually either kills them outright or stuns them such that they're knocked out and then they're taken away and eaten by the birds or their chicks.
Wow, what remarkable birds and well worth going down to see. We really are truly lucky to have them so close here in Hertfordshire. So let's talk about another Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust bird success, bitterns. Now, they couldn't really be much more different, could they? Apart from the fact that bitterns also have been struggling. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yes, bitterns almost went extinct by 1997 in this country. They were down to 11 booming birds, as we call them. And that was due to persecution, loss of quality habitat as well. They need wet reed beds to nest in. And it's worth just saying that a bittern is a brown-feathered member of the heron family, and they live and breed in reed beds within wetlands. And unfortunately, we did, during the last century, see a loss of suitable wetlands in this country, and they went down to this low ebb, as I say, 1997, almost extinct as a breeding species. And Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust from then onwards worked with the RSPB on a project which was looking at providing stepping stones for bitterns throughout the country by creating and restoring existing reed beds to provide the perfect habitat for these birds, not only to breed in, but to spend the winter so that they can survive through that winter period. So we were part of a nationwide project which was funded by European Union money. And that project ran from 2002 to 2004. And the majority of our work was in the Lee Valley at a number of sites. Amwell, the Wildlife Trust Nature Reserve there, Rye Meads, another of our nature reserves. And then a little bit further down at Fisher's Green, which is a site owned by the Lee Valley Regional Park Authority. We just wanted to increase and make better the existing reed beds such that they were suitable for bitterns. And in spite of doubling the amount of reed bed in Hertfordshire as a result of that work, we still only were getting wintering birds. And these were seen at Tring, in the Lee Valley, at Amwell and Rye Meads and Fisher's Green. And bitten numbers since we did all the works back in 2002 to 2006, we've had between, I suppose, 5 and 10 birds wintering in Hertfordshire and the Lee Valley. And any time, as I say, between October and February is normally the time to see bitterns. And they are very popular because they are still rare birds in the country. Very difficult to see.
Yes, indeed. But recently, they've been heard booming, which I believe is significant.
It's incredibly significant because booming is the term given to the bittern song. And if you haven't heard one yet, it sounds like when you blow across the top of a bottle, it's got that type of sound.
That was a
really
great
low, low, deep resonant sound, which sounds like a sort of the foghorn from a ship in the distance. And because it's so low, it's sort of infra-bass type sound, and it's believed it can travel anything up to sort of 5 kilometres. And they sing or they boom when they're trying to attract a mate. And this usually starts from sort of February onwards. And the only time in the Lee Valley that we've ever had a bittern booming was one bird back in 2008. But this year, we're delighted that there seems to be a bittern booming at Amwell. It's been booming a few times over a few weeks now. And of course, this means that all that work over the last 20 years to create the right sort of reed beds for bitterns seemingly has been a success. And this bird clearly thinks that the conditions are suitable. It must think that there's sufficient food for it to make it worth trying to attract a mate. And we're absolutely delighted because they are so rare. Still, there's only about 220 birds nationally breeding. And for us, it's fantastic that all that hard work creating those reed beds seems to have come to fruition. So obviously, what we don't know at the moment is whether that booming bird has found or will find a mate. But given we've been waiting so long, as you can imagine, we're absolutely delighted that this has happened.
After a 20-year wait, I am
yes.
Not surprised that, well, just fingers, toes, everything crossed. As you say, they're notoriously hard to see. They are fabulously camouflaged. If we went along to Amwell, is there any chance we'd be able to hear them, or actually is just this just something that we should just follow the story via social media?
Well, I would always recommend a visit to Amwell because it's one of the best wetland sites in Hertfordshire, or indeed the south of England. Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust manage it to maintain as great a diversity of wetland habitats as we can. And the bittern, not only has it been heard booming, but it's also been seen on a regular basis recently. We have a wonderful watch point which overlooks the whole of the nature reserve, an elevated viewpoint, and from there the bird has been seen on a regular basis. In terms of booming, if anybody fancies going and trying having a listen for the boomer, around dawn is typically the best time to listen for them. They tend to give it all around about that time, and it's felt that it's because the air is still and because it's a bit quieter then, that's the best chance of doing it. So yes, dawn, and that's an early start, of course, as we go into the spring then is the best time. And if anybody wants to go to Amwell Nature Reserve, details of access and how to get there are on Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust website within the reserves section there.
Brilliant. Tim, thank you so much for telling us about that. And we're just keeping everything crossed that it's another successful year for the peregrines, and that this is the year that those bitterns nest and repay your 20 years' hard work. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Lovely to speak to you.
My thanks to Tim Hill. Now, I'll pop a link to the Peregrine Falcon Nest webcam and to the details of how to get to Amwell Nature Reserve into the notes that go with the podcast of this show, and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. And whilst they might not be quite so rare, the herons are again nesting on the islands in Verulamium Park in St Albans, and they are nice and big and easy to spot from the lakeside, so well worth popping down to see. And if you've spotted any nesting birds in your garden or down your allotment or in the park, then it would be great to hear from you. Via email, I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on Twitter and on Facebook. I'll be back with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.